tonight.
All right. Watch this here every Wednesday from 5 to 7 p.m. I'll be back again Friday from 2 to 5 doing Sucking in the 70s.
To visit the other side of a dream. Your ticket is a little packet of white powder called heroin. But every packet of heroin is different. You don't know what's getting into you. Some doses are so strong they kill. Heroin is so vicious that the criminals who make the big money in heroin don't use it. They know a lot of reasons why heroin is very, very dumb. Maybe that's why they call it dope.
Under the new media.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Shea Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-9636. Write it down. Spell it out. 855-915-WMFO. Punch it into your phone. We love to hear from our listeners.
I love how you assume everyone is dumb. You always spell it out for them.
Well, some people like it spelled out. That doesn't
that
mean,
is true.
It doesn't mean necessarily that they're dumb. Some people just like having things spelled out for them.
And theoretically, I mean, most of the millennials don't have the this is the number that corresponds with this letter thing on their phone anymore.
This is true. So for those of you millennials out there, 855-915-9636. That is not, I am trying to log in with entirely the wrong account, and that is not going to work at all. Coming up later tonight, I am going to scare the living hell out of everybody in the listening audience. No, I don't think there is any way that I don't scare the living hell out of everyone in the audience. Sorry to have to do this on a lovely summer's eve.
Yes, I was going to say, today was a wonderful day.
It's summer's eve.
Oh, first, which I think is appropriate that I took my first ocean plunge today.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes, it was lovely. Revere Beach is definitely underrated. Though it did take me a long time. I was telling my friend that I went, like I was staying at my friend's house last night for the purpose of going to the beach today. And when I went in, I was like, it took me like 50 feet to get like up to my crotch. Like it was very
low tidy.
Yeah, low tidy.
They get that well, they don't get the smell so much over in Revere as they do in Lynn.
I was gonna say in Quincy, like,
oh, you're in Quincy.
No. I'm saying comparatively. I was in Revere today, but in Quincy, I remember growing up as a kid and we drive down Quincy for a drive and I'm like, who left eggs out? Like, what is happening that is attacking my nose right now?
Ooh.
And it was always, my parents would just be like, low tide. Yeah. But Revere doesn't have the smell. It just has the ultimate pull out, which is not me referencing college. but it was weird because, like, I said to my friend, as I'm walking, so I parked my car on the seawall, so to speak, as I'm about to illustrate.
Going to Revere Beach, sitting on the wall.
But I walk onto the beach, and there's like a line of seashells, and then the sand is somewhat damp. And then there's a line of seashells, and then the sand is pretty damp, but still sand.
Yep.
And then a line of seashells, and the sand is wet with like current marks on it. And then 50 yards later,
yeah,
there's the actual water.
That's a low tide action working for you right there.
Oh yeah, I couldn't, like, I mean, because we have low tide in Quincy obviously, but that was
Oh yeah, no, low tide up on the North Shore, we get low tide. Like, it's like,
yeah, I was gonna say, it's nope. Low,
no water here, folks, nothing to see, move along.
And it honestly, it freaked me out a little, especially I'm one of those people that, like, knows, I'm not trying to sound like a crazy person, but I know all of the signs.
It's difficult for you.
Oh, shut up. But I know all of the signs of various natural disasters, and the one of a tsunami is the tide pulling out very quickly and then suddenly not doing that.
I don't think we get tsunamis up here. I know it's theoretically possible to get a tsunami anywhere.
I would say that's so cute that you think that.
I have never heard of a tsunami in the history of Massachusetts. And you know, we're one of the oldest settled parts of the country up here. You hear about everything else. You don't hear about tsunami. And I've got to wonder, you know, it's either because there's no earthquake activity going on out there.
It is typically a fault line thing.
But the other thing is, pretty much anything that happened south of Massachusetts, you're going to be shielded by the Cape. That's where the tsunami is going to be. You're going to get tsunami washing away Falmouth and Wellfleet and those places. But I think up on the North Shore, we'd just sort of be sitting around like, oh, well, there goes the Cape.
Well, I mean, that's what they think about. Like the one, I believe it was 2004 in Thailand, there was an earthquake.
Yeah.
And that tsunami ended up affecting multiple countries. If you have time, like literally the documentary's on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's so interesting.
Yes, I remember that one well.
There's, yeah.
That.
And especially because it was Christmas. It was very, like it was most people on holiday.
Yeah, that one had a that one actually impacted my life, believe it or not. But that's a story for another time.
Here's a story for now. In local news, a 15-year-old boy is facing criminal charges after leading police on a chase at speeds in excess of 100 miles per hour through several Massachusetts towns earlier this morning. The incident began around 2:45 a.m. when the cruiser of a trooper who was stopped at a crash on 495 was nearly hit by his passing car. The trooper then initiated pursuit, attempting to stop the vehicle. The suspect's vehicle, a 2007 Honda Accord, exited I-495 in Mansfield while still speeding before turning onto Green Street around 2:50 a.m. At that time, police said they terminated the chase. Several minutes later, troopers and Foxborough police reported that the motor vehicle crashed on Cedar Street.
I actually hit a phone pole and split in half. That's how fast he was going. Now, what make and model of car was this?
This was a 2007 Honda Accord, and it was a 15-year-old boy from Stoughton.
This is news to me, because I didn't think you could get a Honda Accord to go that fast.
I know, right?
I didn't think those would do 100 miles an hour.
Well, to be fair, I mean, I have a Corolla, and you can get that. I think the most I've gotten it to is like 107.
I can get my Fiesta up over 100.
And that 100. Was when I was bored in Kansas.
Yeah, I can get my Fiesta up over 100, but it's a Ford, and Fords do that. But the Honda Accord, this thing had to be like, if you're driving the thing around at 100 miles an hour, which it is totally not built to do, it's got to be souped up somehow. And why is there a 15-year-old behind the wheel?
He also actually had a handgun.
Oh, of course he did. Yeah, so he's, you know, just driving around with his gun and no license at 100 miles an hour. Kids, if you're going to drive underage, don't drive 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, like, I mean, I learned to drive when I was 13. Sorry, Dad, I'm throwing you into the river. But I think statute of limitations has happened now. It's been over 20 years.
We all know that kid or knew that kid that was driving younger than he was supposed to be or driving younger than she was supposed to be.
Other than me, the two of mine are dead.
Yeah.
As should be this boy. Like, this is dumb.
There's a reason we don't let 15-year-olds drive.
He split both the utility pole and the car in half. And ended up living.
Lucky, still, like, minor injuries, from what I heard.
Yeah, I was going to say, I believe the official quote was non-incapacitating injuries.
Yeah.
Whatever, you can interpret that however you'd like.
That means he was still spry enough to fight the cops when they got him out of the car.
Do you know who my father is?
Yeah.
Blech. That reeks of this. Like, it...
Not with the gun in the car.
No, I remember my parents sent me to private school as a high schooler to keep us away from the bad kids. And I remember when I get old enough to tell them, you're just letting us hang out with the kids that have the money for the good drugs.
Yeah, like that. Well, it's a higher class of bad kids.
The good drugs, the good cars, the ridiculous amounts of not being watched. Like, most of the parties I went to in high school, it was like, oh, my parents are in Cabo for a week.
No, but it's a higher class of bad kids at the private school.
While still being bad kids.
You won't be robbing banks, and the drugs they'll hook you on are things you can get treated for. That's okay.
It's like, crack? What's crack?
Yeah.
We have high quality cocaine.
Yeah, we have actual cocaine. What are you smoking over there?
Not that I've ever done cocaine, officer. Well, in national news, Donald Trump, under mounting political pressure from angry members of his own party, signed an executive order today reversing his administration's policy of separating children from their parents at the border and instead detaining families together. Huge improvement. Trump said the order will, quote, solve that problem, end quote, of children being separated from their parents, but that it wouldn't end his administration's zero tolerance policy of charging everyone who attempts to cross the U.S.-Mexico border illegally. The practice has led to thousands of migrant children, some under a year old, being split from their parents or legal guardians and housed in detention centers.
So, kids, you get to stay with your parents in the detention center. Hooray! That's the family that goes to jail together stays together. Is that is that really what we're...
Have you seen the pictures?
Yes.
Of...
Well, I've seen the pictures that they've chosen to share with us.
Yes. The fact that those are the ones that they're sharing with us is horrifying.
I
used to, when I was a kid and my parents would send me to camp, I thought that was like prison.
Yeah.
This, they're literally in cages. They're in, don't try to
cages.
Shake your head and be like...
No, cages is not the right word for
I'm
it.
I'm sorry.
They're in...
Okay, I'll say they're literally fenced in.
Yes.
How does that work
They are
for
fenced
you?
In. I will agree with you on that. They're not cages. Cages has a very specific meaning, and I wouldn't call the... I might call them holding pens. You could call them holding pens if you wanted to.
How is that different from being in the cage?
Because a cage is only... Is a space just big enough for you to move around in?
No, a cage is defined as something that you were inside of and incapable of leaving. There are no dimensions in the description of a cage.
Yeah, there are. There
are.
There are. When we're talking about...
I almost just broke FDA rules because he's being so
absurd.
When
we're talking about cages versus pens versus holding cells versus...
A cage is a cage. If a cage, I don't care if a cage has a 1,000 square foot capacity, if you are incapable of leaving a space, it is a cage.
We don't know that they're incapable of leaving, by the way. We don't know.
Really?
We don't, well.
Don't we?
We don't.
Don't we, though?
I don't know what's going on in those spaces. I know the images that I've seen. I don't know if people are confined.
That's the thing. You know the images that you've seen.
But the images, we're talking still images that don't tell us anything.
Remember when World War II was happening and the government took people to camps to ensure their security?
Well, I remember that we locked up all the Japanese because we were afraid that they'd try and kill us. Which was narrow-minded on the part of the United States government.
Yeah. That doesn't remind you of this at all.
No. No, because they were held in military barracks that were nothing at all like these spaces.
There are children with fences.
Yes.
Around them.
Yes.
Using... using the blankets that astronauts use in space.
Yes.
To make sure they're not cold.
Yes.
Which are, by the way, I bought one of those at the Science Museum when I was a kid just because I thought it was cool. And then I tried to use it and was like, this seems like it would only ever be useful in an absolute emergency.
Marathon runners seem to like them because they hand them out at the end of that to keep them warm. I don't know. Never used one.
You're telling me that this is that different from us setting up Japanese internment camps
yes.
in 1944?
Yes, because we kept the families... I'm not saying that the internment camps were a good thing. I'm not saying they were right. I'm saying this is wildly different from that because the internment camps were barracks. Families were kept together. They lost their liberty. They lost their businesses.
So
they lost everything.
Worse. Is what you're
yes,
saying.
Yes, it is worse.
No, that's, I thought, like, that's what I'm saying, is that it's, this is a similar model, but so much stricter, so much
Well, that's where...
So much more stripping people of their human rights.
That's where I have to draw the line, okay? And this plays into how I'm going to terrify everyone later on in the show tonight.
Oh, God,
because
I'm so terrified already.
We don't know what life is like in there. No one has actually been in there to say this is what's going on. We have seen images of people in confinement, but we don't know if you're stuck in there all day long. We don't know if they're taking those photos while people are asleep at night and the rest of the day they're wandering around. We don't know what's going on in there.
What difference? Okay, so you really think that when those pictures aren't being taken, the rest of the, I don't know, 23 hours of the day, they're being fed ice cream and getting to play soccer and
I'm saying I don't know, and absent that knowledge, I am not going to speculate. That's what I'm saying, because that is the responsible thing to do.
I've never wanted to punch you in the face more than I do.
Because
right
I'm being responsible and reasonable and saying
you're not being responsible.
I don't have enough information to understand what is happening down there.
It's a matter of instinct. It's a matter of
no, it's not. Not for us. If you want to say it's a matter of instinct for everybody else who's screaming and yelling on Instagram, that's fine.
But see, I haven't been.
We, by virtue of being behind these microphones, are held to a higher standard. And speculation is not within our purview unless we specifically say, here's what I see and this is what I think is going on down there. You're trying to make statements of fact based on still images.
That is entirely fair. And you are correct. That being said, because of the position that we are in, which is that we read the news more often than your average person.
Correct.
We have a higher level of understanding on how everything works.
Correct.
That gives us the ability to look at something. I'm like gonna start crying right now. That gives us the ability to look at something like this and be able to think without the information, to be able to at least suggest, based on our previous knowledge, what may be happening here.
Incorrect.
I don't believe you. I don't agree. I disagree.
You're free to disagree, okay? But
I'm not saying anything is happening for an absolute fact. I'm saying that based on having love of history, having love of the news, reading the news so often that you bug me to read it more.
Right.
Like it's a matter of if you don't learn history, it's doomed to repeat itself. That's one of my favorite quotes that I learned in college. And this is a prime example of that, where I look at this and think, I've seen this before. This is not new. This is not a brand new concept. And then I think, where have I seen this before? And what has happened in these instances?
And because we are creatures of pattern recognition, that's a natural assumption to come to.
That's the whole point of being any sort of historian or news buff.
You've got to acknowledge the fact that you are making assumptions about this. And it is just as reasonable for me to assume that after the cameras are turned off, Barney the dinosaur walks out and there's chocolate and strawberry soft serve ice cream shooting out of his nipples.
That is fair. Though it does remind me of when I was 15 and thought my parents were going to get back together.
Yeah.
It's just...
I don't think that's happening.
That's adorable.
I think your supposition is probably closer to the truth than mine, but we have to acknowledge that it is supposition. And
yes,
a lot of the reason that...
Okay, I'll give you...
A lot of the reason this has been so inflamed is because people see these pictures and then you get these news commentators, who are not journalists, by the way, you get these commentators coming out and saying, Nazi, Nazi, Nazi.
I'm not saying Nazi. I'm just saying 1944 American.
actually, 1944 America, other than the fact that you lost all of your property and all of your rights and all of your standing as an American citizen, I think you would find the average Japanese internment camp victim would tell you that the experience they had was probably a lot better than the experience these kids are having.
Oh my God, you have never read what was it called? A Thin Red Line.
George Takei was wrote a book about it, didn't he? Because wasn't his family was interred.
I read a book in middle school. That's how I started getting interested in it.
Yeah.
In it. But it was a girl who was in there when she was 11. And it was like, it was kind of like camp if the counselors were the worst.
Yeah.
And the food was even worse. And you suffocated on sand the entire time you were there.
Yeah. On the plus side, I think they've got air conditioning at these things. On the downside, there's no... Yeah, it's on the downside.
On the I love that that's the... Oh, well, at least there's cold air blowing in your face.
If there's a silver lining, it's a climate-controlled facility.
While you have all of your human rights stripped away from you.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that you make this situation any better by keeping the families together in these conditions.
No, you make the situation better by not doing this to anyone.
Well, that's a non-starter.
Is it?
Yes. That is a non-starter.
Well, why don't you tell that to my family that came here from Ireland when we didn't have enough potatoes?
When we had legal immigration and you came here legally? Is that the difference? See, this always gets to be the problem, doesn't it?
The land
this
of the
always
free
gets to be the problem.
And the home of the brave.
And this is what your side does not want to hear.
We don't want to hear the
you don't want to hear
contradiction to what our country was founded on.
You don't
on.
Want to hear that
yeah,
there's such a thing as
that.
Illegal immigration.
There is such a thing as illegal immigration.
Okay.
I realize that, but we're not letting anyone legally immigrate anymore.
Yes, we are.
We are, but for under the strictest, most rigorous, most unattainable of terms.
I don't think it's that unattainable because there is a pretty hefty amount.
Easy for you to say, American.
Here's an interesting statistic.
Do you know how many Mexicans that were living there illegally that I knew while I was living in LA? Do you know how hard all of them were trying to get citizenship?
Here's an interesting fact about California. 52% of children under the age of 18 in California are living with an immigrant parent.
That's not shocking at all.
But that kind of flies in the face of your argument that there's no legal immigration in this country. Of course there is. There's tons of it.
Dude, okay. That is based on a census of the documented people here.
Those are the
Do you know how many undocumented people there are here? 52. I don't care. Of that 52%, they have aunts and uncles and cousins and nieces and nephews and blah, 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 blah living with them who are not documented, who are working for less than minimum wage, who are cleaning hotel rooms, who are mopping up restaurants before they open, who are cleaning up trash in a park.
Who are in the country illegally.
Well, whose fault is that? Not theirs.
Yes, it is, because you made a choice to break a law and come into this country. That is their choice.
That's unfair.
How is that unfair? Nobody put a gun to their head and said, go immigrate to the United States. They made a choice to break our
Maybe
laws.
Maybe someone had a gun to their head in the country that they were from, and they had no choice but to go somewhere else.
If that is the case, then you come to our border and you apply for asylum. And we say, yes,
and
you may come
no.
in. Or no, you have to go back to your country.
I'd say 99 times out of 100, they say, no, you have to go back to your country.
That's pretty accurate.
Based on my research in the field.
It's 95 times out of 100 currently. We let in about 5% of those who come to our country seeking asylum.
This is my point.
Because
I've said this on the show before. My family tried to come through Ellis Island and got turned away because we had an Irish last name. And then ended up going through East Boston. And they were like, yeah, get it.
Sure.
Come on in.
Sure.
We were lucky.
New York was full up on Irish that day.
We were lucky. My grandfather's brother moved to New York and was doing essentially slave labor the entire time that he was there because we had an Irish last name. And I'm not trying at all to try to pretend that I understand the struggle of former slaves or of Mexican people or of anyone that isn't white. But my point being that This is, people started our country to seek asylum, to seek a place where they could just be. And everything that's happened since then has abandoned that.
That's partially true.
Partially?
That's partially true.
Oh, come on.
We have let a great many people into this country.
We have,
who were
but,
in need.
Yes, but I mean, my family being a perfect example, like we had no potatoes, Derek.
Yeah, I know. I know the history. There's a lot of Irish in me. There's a lot of Irish running through these veins. I know the story.
Where are all my potatoes?
There'd be a lot fewer Irish.
That was more Italian than Irish.
There'd be a lot fewer Irish in the world if the United States hadn't sort of thrown the doors open and said, come on in.
But that's my point, is that it's, I mean, I know a lot of Mexican people who are hardworking, wonderful, they do take jobs away from Americans only because Americans aren't willing to work for less than minimum wage.
Nobody,
and that's the double-edged sword.
Nobody should be working for less than minimum wage.
Precisely.
Period,
and that's the double-edged sword of it.
End of story.
I'd like a level playing field. I'd like for them, like my friend Maria cleans a better floor than I do. I would like a level playing field where Maria gets the job at the same rate that I would get the job.
Right. That's the
because
way.
Because she cleans the floor better.
That's the way it should work. And this is one
exactly.
of the, this is one of the problems.
That's
if you
my
are,
point.
If you are an illegal immigrant in this country, because you do not have any rights in this country, businesses will exploit you.
And, oh, I experienced this when I lived in Italy. But that's my point.
And you
that,
may still be better off than you were at home, but... And this is where you need to target the business owners who do this and send a clear message to them that if you do this, you will go to jail.
But that's my point, is that the idea of this country is at its utopian ground. Everyone can come in. If you can hack it, get out.
We passed laws in the 1950s. This is where this...
Oh, that's when everyone was really smart.
This is where this begins. We started passing immigration laws in the 1950s, okay? That basically said
so
no.
So when people were building bomb shelters and eating TV dinners and saying they were friendly, that sounds like...
It was, in some sense, a reaction to McCarthyism. That is
of
one,
course.
That's one of the reasons why we started passing, because they were afraid all of these Russian sympathizers and communists were going to come to America and overrun the country. That is a turning point in our immigration law. Since then, we have passed a series of increasingly restrictive measures on immigration. And the reason that we're passing those laws is because we've got 300 plus million people of our own in this country that we can't take care of.
But the whole point of our country is to take care of ourselves.
Yeah, but we can't do that. We've failed to do.
But
go
that's, well,
go
that's,
ask a veteran
no,
how the VA
proving,
system works.
You're proving my point, though, is that I agree we failed the veterans in the same respect. But the whole point is supposed to be, come here if you think you have what it takes to live as you want to live and survive doing that.
Prior to World War II, that was true. Post-World War II, no. Sorry, Yet we can't do it. We got
Are
too many
you kidding
people.
Me? I was born more than 40 years after that. You're really wanting me and a million other people to base our lives on what happened in World War II?
That's what your government has done. And let's...
So I have to just bend over and take
let's
that?
Let's bring this into reality, all right? This is what I'm doing. I'm bringing this into reality. We have passed,
I am too.
We have passed a series of increasingly restrictive immigration laws in this country. A majority of electoral votes went to Donald Trump. And the one thing that we knew about Donald Trump going into office was that he was going to enforce immigration law.
But
if you want to fix this,
I'm sorry, you say we elected Donald Trump.
We the people. Yes. The American people elected Donald Trump president.
The majority, the voting majority of the American people.
The electoral majority.
The electoral. Thank you.
He got enough of the electoral votes to win. is what it comes down. He got a majority in enough states that weren't California that he could become president. When we elected him, we knew this was coming. Okay? A lot of people didn't vote for him because they knew this was coming. And said, no, we don't want that America. All Donald Trump is doing, all Jeff Sessions is doing...
Is
enforcing the law.
Yeah.
If you want this to change, you've got to get Congress off its ass and get it to pass some legislation. Congress doesn't want to do that. Congress keeps running the other way. Every single time. And this is the thing. I've started to see this come out of the media in the last few days, and it's been encouraging, where reporters have had members of Congress on and said, when are you going to pass a bill? And the members of Congress sit there and they're like, oh, you know, nobody has a clear majority and we got some competing plans in here.
Stuff.
Blah, blah, blah. And this is the question everyone in the United States should be asking. When are you going to pass a bill? And if you want to harass somebody about it, don't harass the president. Don't harass Jeff Sessions. Don't harass the idiot from Health and Human Services at a Mexican restaurant. Go harass Congress. Go harass your senators. Go harass your representatives and say, why aren't you fixing this right now?
But see, that's the thing is that we're at a point in politics where a shift is about to come, but it hasn't come yet. Where I know you hate millennials and you lump me in with being such.
Please, dear God, tell me millennials will never run this country.
I am not a millennial, first of all. Second of all, I'm sorry, but they're coming. Most of them are dum-dums, but some of them actually have progressive good ideas.
They're going to try and disrupt the government with their own alternative app-based government. I think that's what they're going to do.
God. If someone could call in
they certainly
and
don't vote
pass
in
me
meaningful
something
numbers.
Through the phone to throw at Derek, that would be wonderful.
I'm just telling you, this is what history tells me millennials do.
Anyways, but we're at this weird crux in the government where the shift hasn't happened yet. It's the people who are speaking the loudest in terms of the people are people my age and a bit younger, a bit older, but the people in charge are still people my parents' age.
But the people who are the loudest are not necessarily the people who win, and you got to keep
That's my whole point, is that the people who are the loudest, and some of them are dum-dums, but a lot of them make a lot of good points, but the matter of it is the government is supposed to represent the people. That is the basis of our government, beyond anything I said before.
And
the problem is that, like I said, the people in charge right now, for the majority, are my parents' age. And my parents are both very progressive. They've come to terms with how me and my siblings think. But at the same time, there are a lot of people their age who are still stuck in that 1950s mindset. And
I agree with you wholeheartedly, by the way.
Who do not... It's a matter of we have a difference... This is actually one of the first times in a long time that the vast majority of the voting population have had a large difference of opinion with the people who are supposed to be representing us.
Well, I don't think the people who are representing us are capable of representing us any longer. Because,
yeah, that's true as well.
And I've said this on the show before, because I don't believe they understand the world that we live in.
Because they don't. That's the thing. It's
they have interns to keep them away from the world.
Trying to illegalize abortion is absurd at this point. Trying to defund Planned Parenthood. Like, are you kidding me? Trying to illegalize gay marriage. Trying to make have an ally in North Korea. I could go on and on and on. There are so many things that it's just like, you are so out of touch with what the people who are going to be funding and making our country what it is going to be want. You are not for the people by the people right now.
You hold a minority view on North Korea.
I do not.
You do. And I don't disagree with your other points, but
I'm
going
to post on Facebook to have people call in right now to tell you you're wrong.
In world news, because we must move on, the battle of tariffs.
Oh, God, that took so long.
The battle of tariffs and a potential trade war with China heated up this week. President Donald Trump announced $50 billion in tariffs to take effect on July 6th in response to China stealing intellectual property from the United States. China responded with a threat to raise tariffs on a range of U.S. products, including cars, soybeans, and whiskey. President Trump doubled down on in response, ordering the U.S. Trade Representative to prepare measures that would impose tariffs on an additional $200 billion in Chinese goods. Financial markets have begun to price the reality of a trade war into stock and commodity prices, as well as futures, though some observers believe the trade war will not materialize.
See, this is what I'm talking about. We need to straight up pirate all of this. Like, this is...
All right.
What this is exactly what I'm talking about. This is what America was founded on. It was just us being like, hey, yo, we want this, you want that, let's trade stuff. Like,
we got a caller, and we're going to take a brief diversion of the caller, and then we're going
to
address...
Oh, I thought you needed me to go to answer.
Then we're going
to
address that particular point. Caller, welcome to the show. You've threatened to scare me. I'm going to scare you later tonight, by the way. I got some horrifying poll results, but...
I was planning on watching stream later. This may save me from doing that.
You won't need it. Anyway, what do you got?
What about illegal millennials taking...
Call back. Please call back immediately, because one of these days...
Derek may or may not have pressed the wrong
one
button.
One of these days, I'm going to learn how to operate this radio station, and it drives me nuts that I keep doing this. I'm really bad on these phones. It's so counterintuitive.
God. Aren't you supposed to be my boss? What's happening right now?
It's all right. He will call back. Please call back. Please call back.
He will call back.
To your point about trade and China, it was like that for about 5 minutes before China was like, hey, the United States has all this great stuff. Let's just take it and make it ourselves. And the United States is sitting around saying, wait a minute, we've got this thing called patents and we've got this thing called copyright. You can't just do that. And the Chinese sit there and they're like, we don't recognize that.
We don't care.
And they just
conquer.
They counterfeit everything. They count, and the biggest industry that they've made a huge dent in. Remember a few years ago when everybody was talking about solar panels?
Yes, that was a huge deal for 5 minutes.
Solar panels were going to save the U.S. economy. We were going to become the world's leading manufacturer of solar panels. Guess what the Chinese did? First, they stole every bit of technology that they could. And then when we finally developed stuff that they couldn't steal, and this happened in Massachusetts, by the way, we gave something like $500 million or $50 million to a company to manufacture solar panels here in Massachusetts. We gave them all kinds of tax breaks. The Chinese called up one day and said, hey, move it over to China. We're going to build you a factory and you will never pay taxes on any of this. What do? They up and left. That is straight up outright theft as far as we're concerned. Because now our jobs are gone. All the research that we did is in Chinese hands. And the president, and it's not just the United States that has this issue with China. Every country in the world has this issue with China. Lego has been suing China for years now. Because as soon as...
Of course you know that.
As soon as Lego opened a factory in China, the Chinese started knocking off all of Lego's products. And selling them throughout Asia. And selling them. You can find them on eBay. And China sits around and says, we don't recognize the concept of intellectual property. That is a true statement. There is no intellectual property law in China. Somebody designs something, everybody can use it.
The irony of the whole thing is that you can't really charge someone with a crime if they're doing it in their country where it isn't a crime.
But this is where international trade is supposed to come in and say, look, if you want to do business with us... It has to be on these terms.
Well, but that's the funny thing about... I remember when I lived in Europe before the EU was formed. Or as the EU was being formed. My best friend there, who is from the Netherlands, like, asked why the United States was one country. Even though we had 50 states and we're so huge and every state was different and all of that. And I said to her, I was like, I honestly don't know. We are what we are. And then when I came back to America and told my brother that, He said, they're doing the exact same thing we did, just like 200 years later.
Yeah. Why are we like that? Because it's a good idea.
Because it's a good idea.
Because we have the number one economy in the world.
Yeah, because it's like the one, I don't understand economical stuff. I almost swore. But it's funny because then like she ended up emailing me being like, the EU is very good, and I think I understand the U.S.
Yeah.
now.
Yeah, suddenly like, oh, hey, look.
But it's
like,
just a matter of like, it's a matter of even if we're different, the standard rules that apply to everybody. If we had that for the entire world, it would be lovely, but
yeah.
Not likely.
July 6th is the drop-dead date for these tariffs to take effect. I still don't know that they will. And no less a man than Warren Buffett doesn't believe that they will. This may just be a lot of saber rattling by both sides. I think there is a good possibility that July 6th comes, and yes, we do see the tariffs, and the tariffs are in place for a month, and then everybody's like, wait a minute, back off. This isn't what we wanted. I don't think there is a willingness on either side of this dispute to dig in and suffer the kind of long-term economic harm that a trade war would cause.
Yeah.
I think both sides want to be like, no, I'm right and you're wrong, and I get everything I want and you get nothing. But really what you've got is brinksmanship negotiating on both.
I would say someone's going to bend.
Yeah.
If only out of the desire to not ruffle too many feathers.
It's going to be a mutual bend, though. You know, it's going to be like, okay, wait a second. If we give you this, can we stop doing this? And it's going to be like, yes. Somebody's going to get a concession out of this. And the question is, do the tariffs actually take effect before that happens? I think the odds are against that right now. That may change in the next 2 weeks, but right now, I think the odds are against the tariffs with China happening. Canada's another story. Canada, I think, we're going to tariff into oblivion.
Oh, of course.
And, you know, too bad.
They're our bitch.
Too bad for those poutine eaters.
I do like poutine, though.
In sports news, 4 more years. When asked on Instagram when he planned to retire, New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady replied, quote, 45, or 45. The 40-year-old Brady,
oh, he's such a douche,
who will turn 41 in August during the early days of training camp, also told ESPN in May that he plans to play until 45, but reserved the right to play longer if he still felt up to it. Brady has 2 more years remaining on his current Patriots contract. So we've got him until he's 43.
I love the Patriots. That's something I've learned to love because
You don't stick around this show unless you got some love for the Patriots.
Any regular listener knows that I'm a baseball gal. But that being said, both Derek and my ex-boyfriend have pushed me into loving the Pats. And, you know, Gronkowski's just stupid hot.
Oh, yeah.
But I have, since he started being our quarterback, I have thought that Tom Brady is a total D-bag. And the commercial he did.
So is it appropriate that we're talking
home.
Is it appropriate that we're talking about Tom Brady on Summer's Eve? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that is precisely what I'm saying.
It's Summer's Eve, and we're talking about Tom Brady.
He is exactly a Summer's Ever. But no, that commercial he did where it's like, when you're good at something, you just want to get better at it. I want to lick my own pussy.
He's terrible. If he wants to lick his cat.
He meant his cat.
He's more than willing to do that. He is terrible in front of the camera.
Oh, he is. I mean,
and
his wife is the same way. I remember there was a comedian in Boston. She's since moved. I believe she lives in Arizona now, randomly enough. But she had a joke about Giselle talking about how childbirth was painless. And this is a woman who's had a kid.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I'm Giselle. Oh, I'm tall and skinny and gorgeous. And childbirth doesn't hurt me at all. I'm married to a great warrior who has the ability to throw things very far and straight. Like, it...
Tom Brady.
They're both. I just want to slap both of them across the face. I will say it. I'm sorry, Boston. I want to slap Tom Brady across the face. Not for being a bad quarterback, because he's an awesome quarterback.
He's the greatest quarterback that ever lived.
He's the greatest quarterback that ever lived. And when I was a kid, I thought that was Drew Bledsoe. Yeah. And I was totally wrong.
Tom Brady, I will say this, and we got to move
Tom on. Grady is the, yeah, but I do want to slap them both in the face.
Tom Brady is the best quarterback that ever lived. Tom Brady on camera is atrocious. He is so bad. He comes off completely stiff and mechanical,
yeah,
and just devoid of personality in everything that he does.
Like, why is anyone putting him on camera if he's
Stop
not throwing
putting,
a football?
He's good at his radio interviews, and he's good, like, after a game talking to people. But when you actually, like, sit him down in a formal setting, he just, like, stiffens up, and it's painful to watch. Please don't ever put him on camera, but let him play football. So, Tom, and I would love to hang out with Tom Brady and have a beer with the guy. I think everything that he has done on the field is incredible. He is a good role model. There are a lot of good things that you can say about Tom Brady. His work behind the camera, or in front of the camera, tends not to be one of those things.
Okay, in entertainment news, Apple has announced a multi-year partnership with Oprah to produce original programming for the tech company as it tries to take on Netflix and Amazon in an increasingly crowded content field. It's the latest salvo in a pop culture battle for attention and comes 3 weeks after Netflix announced a deal to bring former President Barack Obama and his wife Michelle as producers of exclusive content. That streaming service was already basking in the glow of previous deals with Scandal creator Shonda Rhimes and talk show icon David Letterman. One day before the Oprah news broke, Amazon touted a new first look deal with Nicole Kidman's production company.
Yeah, let me tell you how this escalates. This is how it goes. Streaming service one, we've got Shonda Rhimes. Streaming service two, we've got the Obamas. Streaming service three, we've got Oprah.
This is the biggest flexing contest I've ever seen.
Here's a question. Who's going to pay for all of this?
Right?
Who is going to pay for all of this? Because these streaming services are all running up huge hundreds of millions of dollars in production expenses every single year, all based on the idea that I'm going to get all the subscribers if I have this content. That is not the way it is going to work, folks.
Nor is it how it should work.
Some of this content will be bad. Some of this content won't be as good as what's on other networks. So people will go over to those other networks, and some of these streaming services will fail. And investors who are all over this, because investors always like to think they're buying the next telephone or the next smartphone or the next...
One of my friends, his dad got rich by buying beer.com.
Yeah.
Website, beer.com. Like the... I can't think of the word. The digits to make it like the... help me. You're in this industry.
The URL.
URL.
The domain.
Thank you. Yeah. The domain. That's what I was looking for. The domain name. Yeah. Beer.com.
Oh, I remember those days when everybody was...
That.
Yeah, I remember when everyone
and
was speculating
he
on
he made like
URLs.
Millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Because Anheuser-Busch contacted him being like, yo.
How much? Let me write a number on a piece of paper.
Yeah, like name a price.
Yeah. It's like, who are you? Oh, you're Anheuser-Busch? Let me write a bigger number on this piece of paper.
Oh, you have billions of dollars?
You know, 100 years ago, a Rockefeller said, you know what? Railroads look good. And we know how that turned out. Everyone is trying to do that now. And there are a lot of companies out there that are dangling that promise in front of investors and saying, look, we're going to be the one. Don't buy Hulu. Don't buy Apple. Buy Netflix, because we're going to be the one. Apple's saying the same thing. Hulu's saying the same thing. Some people are going to win and some people are going to lose. But there is this arms race on now to get content that cannot end well. I will say that much for it.
Absolutely.
This cannot end well for anybody.
No way. I mean, I remember when I took communications and media industries in college and found out that six companies controlled like 90% of everything in media in the entire country.
Disney. Disney's five of those companies.
Yeah,
and then CBS much. Viacom is the other one.
I would say Viacom's one. But I just sound there being like, so it's all fixed. And this is going to come to a head at some point. There's going to be some point where two of these companies are trying to control more than the other. And then they're going to butt heads. This is exactly what I predicted 10 years ago.
It's not so much that it's fixed as... And we've...
It's that it's controlled. It's controlled. Like, I couldn't believe that the same people that owned... This is what I hated. The same people that own the Boston Red Sox own the New York Times.
Yeah. And the Boston Globe.
Think about that.
By the way, they...
Think about that.
They also own a piece of the Herald.
It makes me want to puke on this microphone. Like, seriously, I can't...
It's a symbiotic relationship, and it actually makes sense. There's a reason why they do that, but...
There is a reason, I know, but it's not a reason that I or any other average human being is okay with
It's not necessarily a negative. It depends on the relationship that exists between editorial and the owners. And... Yes, it gets fraught at times, but by and large, having known people involved in those organizations, I don't have a problem with it. I've seen behind the curtain, and I've seen what goes on, and it's not as bad as you may think it is. That's not to say it can't be, but it's not like John Henry's walking into the Boston Globe and being like, hey, you write nothing but good stories about the Red Sox, and you're going to write about X, Y, and Z, and you're going to write good stuff about how we're helping the city of Boston because we got this tax thing going on over here we want to go away. There's a little bit of that happens, but there's far less of it than you'd imagine. But to the broader point of the number of companies out there, think about the thing that happens is the reason there are six companies that control all of this is because that's what the market has said it will support. And I'll use video games as an example. There used to be eight different video game consoles.
Yeah.
And we have whittled our way down to three companies that still have them. Because three companies can survive and be profitable. As soon as you try and put a fourth in there, the whole thing breaks down.
I see what you're saying, but at the same time, my only point is, and I'll let us move on after this. My only point is that, like, we're supposed to try to reject the concept of monopolies, and we keep moving closer towards them. And so much of what we're going to get into involves that there's, it feels like it's becoming less and less and less and less of a free market, which is, again, I guess that's the theme of tonight's show, is it feels like we're getting away from the whole concept this country was founded on.
Oh, and we haven't even got to the scary part of tonight
yet. I know, right?
The scary part's coming up later. Be prepared to be scared. In technology news, the United States Supreme Court has agreed to hear an antitrust case against Apple Computer that could have far-reaching implications for online commerce. Brought by Robert Pepper of Chicago and other iPhone users, the class action case alleges that Apple's App Store is an unfair monopoly that forces iPhone owners to pay higher prices for software. Apple allows developers to set the prices of apps in the App Store, but also extracts a 30% commission on each sale, which developers pass along to consumers. The ruling could impact other online marketplaces, including Google Play, Steam, StubHub, and Amazon Marketplace, if the court determines that these enterprises hold monopoly positions that freeze out competition.
So exactly what I just said.
Crux of the case is, if there was another App Store on the iPhone, then Apple wouldn't be able to charge everyone 30% commission, because the competitor could come in and say, I only charge 10% commission, price on everything goes down, and now you have competition. Apple's argument is, it's our platform, it's our standards, we built this, nobody has to buy an iPhone. If you buy an iPhone, you buy it with the understanding that you are getting all of your additional software content through this service. Be interesting to see how this one turns out. I have a feeling that the Supreme Court is more than likely going to find in favor of Apple.
You don't say.
Because I can't think of a situation where the federal government has said, no, you private business owner need to have this competing business on your premises. And conceptually, that's kind of what you're talking about with this.